Yes, another week of Views from the Box. Daniel's not here today, so today Hayo has stepped in for Daniel. Hayo, how you doing?
Yo, sorry, bro. I'm here. I'm back.
Yeah,
You
man.
want to redo the intro? You could do it again, but I'm here.
Hey, yeah. Hey, before we go, what do you make of today's events, man? From an outsider looking in.
Boy, no, thanks for having me on again. Obviously, Dan can't be here today, so I've come in to offer some of my thoughts. But this was one of the best weekends of Premier League football that we've had this season, by like just because of how unpredictable it was.
Yeah, very
Like,
predictable, yeah.
I to be honest, that like looking at the like the Newcastle Spurs game, them getting what like Spurs getting washed, Man United, Bournemouth. I mean, to be honest, you can kind of predict Man United are gonna be washed these days anyway, and they're so predictably unpredictable. But then I guess like the headline fixtures were the Liverpool
Alice, yeah.
Palace game and that result, and then obviously the Arsenal game, and everyone was waiting to see if Arsenal have got the cojones to say, rah, Liverpool have dropped points. Let's step up and show people that we want to lead the pack and can lead the pack all the way into the final day of the season. And I think obviously that's the first thing that we should probably unpack, boy, because
Yeah, well,
boy.
today all I'm going to say is that Odegaard was our best player today, and as soon as he came off, the collapse was confirmed because ESR off the ball is a fucking disgrace, and Arsenal and certain Arsenal fans don't understand this, talking about, oh, Odegaard needs to be moved on. But meanwhile, Odegaard has been our best player arguably since the turn of the year. Rain or shine, he's been our best player against Porto. If it wasn't for his moment of brilliance, Porto win that tie quite comfortably. Against Bayern Munich was our best player, and Saka was close second, and Odegaard deservedly got man of the match. And today was our best player again, knitting everything together, and our attack couldn't hit a fucking barn door. And after the first half, I knew we have to score early, otherwise it is going to be a struggle. Because in this part of the season, yeah, you do not want to be going 1-0 down in the final few weeks of the season. You want every game to be as seamless as possible, because there's already fatigue in your legs, small, because it's the back end of the season, increased amount of games than usual. So you have to do everything in your power here to kill games off in the first hour. Otherwise, in the final half hour of the game, you're leaving yourself open to getting your nose blooded. And today, that was sort of what was going to happen.
You know what though, the last few get like the last like stretch, like the home stretch of the season, that final lap, I think it can always be a little bit shaky. Like
Yeah, it's
you
very difficult. Very, very difficult.
obviously, yeah, obviously the ideal scenario to be in would be to, as you said, make everything as seamless as possible and not continuously go 1-0 down and what have you. But I don't know, I'm an old head and I think back to a lot of the like close for call run-ins that Man United had, for example, under like even like 07, 08. I remember Man United in that last six games, like drawing away at Middlesbrough, drawing at Blackburn, like getting a last minute draw at Blackburn, losing to Chelsea. Like actually, that was the game when they lost to Chelsea. United and Chelsea were going head for head and it head to head and it went all the way down to the final season. I think
Yeah,
they
for
went and
final game, yeah.
beat Wigan on the
Yeah,
final day
2-0. Yeah,
to confirm it.
give this brace.
But the last six games can be very unpredictable, and it's about getting over the line, and that's what I was thinking. Okay, even if Arsenal don't play that well, it doesn't really matter. They need to get over the line because what they've been doing for 80% of the season has been playing really well, especially since the turn of the year. Like you obviously had that shaky form in December. Since the turn of the year, what they up until today, you conceded four goals, washing everybody 5-0, 6-0s, just destroying everyone. That isn't sustainable for the entirety of a season into a title run-in. You're gonna have those shaky moments. So I was actually looking at a team like Liverpool and seeing them, you know, stage their little comebacks and like have shaky games and think, do you know what? that's how Premier League titles are won. It's not always like plain sailing and not always smooth.
My thing is that you
Get
save
over the
those
line.
comebacks for the final weeks, not
You save that for the, yeah,
my
you
final
save that
weeks.
towards the back end of the
Yeah,
season.
not in the middle of the race
Yeah,
whereby
man.
you're going to
You
gas
want to,
yourself up.
yeah, exactly. So I was thinking, Arsenal now, they've done amazing all season. Okay, now it's April. The league, I always say the league starts in April. So you want to start just getting results. That should be the mentality in the dressing room. We don't need to be slapping people. We don't need to
Yeah.
be ripping teams apart. We need to get results. You have to be
Yeah,
ruthless.
2-1s, one nils,
Yeah,
three
whatever
one.
you can to
Yeah.
get over the line.
Yeah.
And
Also, you have to be very clinical as well in crucial moments because
yeah,
first half,
exactly.
today we were cutting really open at wall and we missed every big chance we created, which were Trossard one that has to go in. Jesus at the far at the back post again, putting it wide. But for terms of Arsenal, I actually don't know with this team when it's just gonna click with these guys because every year Arsenal fans have a scapegoat or excuses of oh fatigue. Arteta should rotate the team better. From what you watched today, yeah, was fatigue an issue or you just think some players just choked? Because Odegaard, yeah, has been staying on 90 minutes here for most of our games this season, yeah, but he looked like the player, yeah, who had the most energy out of everyone. Let me not lie. So what do you make of this fatigue excuse? Arsenal fans are trying to apportion blame on Arteta, yeah, for not rotating enough.
I think this season you've got the squad that can handle multiple competitions, and you're in, it's not, and it's not even like you're in an FA Cup as well. You're in two competitions. You've now got more depth and diversity in the ability for you guys to bring players in, and you don't, you're not, you don't have the same challenges you had last season where your defense was decimated by Saliba being out. Like, there's now more options. Like, you can have a Havertz now who can like be really like adaptable and play as a striker or play in midfield as he did today. You've got like now rotations for somebody like Martinelli doesn't need to be starting every single week now. You've got Trossard, and now Martinelli's coming on for Trossard. Like, so I feel like for me, what I observed is a team who, you know, went into the game with like fairly confident, and as they failed to put the game to bed, the nerves started to be created in the stadium, and it started to filter down into the fans. Like the fan, sorry, in the stadium, and it started to filter down into the players. And that's it to me. I think we spoke about this last time when I was on the pod. Those are the moments where you need your leaders to just be like, it's cool, boys. Keep playing the way we're playing.
And Odegaard was the only player today who was calm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he was the only person. And then he's come off, and I think Villa will have had the better second half in
Oh,
general.
if Villa were better in the second half, I
Yeah.
don't. Apart from the Jesus shot we had earlier, I couldn't remember a moment whereby we had a clear shot at goal. Maybe I was daydreaming for the rest of the game, but hey, that second half was abysmal, man. Like the
Villa
cut.
were a lot more composed. Like, they found their composure in the second half.
Also, again. In the
Yeah.
running, crucial game in the running years, Zinchenko and Jesus left wanting again. Zinchenko today was so annoying. The amount of times whereby he would delay the final pass, then he'll play when Havertz or Martinez offside, or he'll play the pass when our attackers offside was so annoying. That the issue is not really his defending per se, it's how his indecisiveness on the ball, which is costing us this season. Away to Villa was the same issue. Villa will leave a massive high line, then this idiot will play the ball last minute and our attacker's offside because he delayed the pass too long. And again today, he was even the one moment you had the Tielemans shot that crashed off the bar. Why are you
Yeah,
trying to not make the opposition your box?
that was poor.
That
That was
shit,
really
the shit like
bad.
that, yeah,
And
cries in my
that's what I
ears.
mean. Like, that's exactly what I mean. Like, in those moments, in these games, in these tense situations in April, in the running, the final stretch of seven games, you're someone like Saka, who's 22 years old, Saliba, 22 years old. All of these young bucks, they're trying to think, who am I looking to? Who's been here before? Who's gonna calm me down? I'm feeling a little bit janky and
And
nervy.
then again, yes,
But
Saliba was out.
you've brought Zinchenko in from Man City to be that leader, and he's there doing stupid things on the pitch. You're probably thinking, raw, if he is somebody that I'm supposed to look at, and he's not, he seems to be sort of rattled or not got him his own game together. What more for me? Do you know what I'm saying? And I feel like that energy just transmits through the entirety of the team. Villa take their chance. The heads go down. Like when I saw this, see the Sky cameras when Bailey scored the first goal, pan into like Saliba. He just looked gutted. Like Arsenal, they looked dejected, and I was like,
Right, when
this is gonna be 2-0. I was thinking this is
yeah,
gonna
100%.
be
Like when Bailey scored that, I tweeted, I said, that's a game over because, first of
right.
all, it's like we're cutting them open multiple times in the second half here and they're
Yeah.
taking the lead. So, that, okay, let's get back together. We're creating chances. We'll take one. I knew it was done. Like the moment whereby I had that three, four corners in a row, I was like, yeah, it is over. Like the one part of our season, one part of our defending, which has been amazing this season, is defending set pieces. And today, yeah, our set
Yeah.
piece defending was horrendous. Villa were
Yeah,
winning every second ball.
they were.
And it just shows that like, having one weak link in your back line here can just fuck up everything for the whole team. Because Zinchenko was a bag of nerves today, fam. Bag of nerves, especially in the second half. Delaying on the ball, dilly-dallying,
Yeah.
being crap
Yeah, man. If you
PSG.
if your leaders are not, if your supposed leaders are a nervous wreck, and you're one of the young bucks who needs guiding through these moments, these tricky moments in the season, squeaky bum time, yeah. Like that must be very destabilizing to be a Saka, to be a Martinelli, to be a Saliba, like even a Declan Rice, like as instrumental as he has been to Arsenal going up, in my opinion, another level from where they were at last season. 24 years old, okay, he's won like a subpar,
A third-tier Premier competition. It's
yeah,
not been
third
nothing.
tier European
Yeah, it's been nothing.
trophy. But he's not been in a circumstance like this before, where in
Yeah.
April he's fighting for a league trophy. So he's also looking around like, damn, am I the one that's gonna have to be the one that's gonna have
Yeah,
to
because
kind
even with Declan Rice, yeah, he's been very shaken in the Champions League
of,
knockouts
yeah,
because
he has,
it's new terrain for him,
he
and he's
has.
been struggling as well. So, yeah, new experiences. But yeah, man, like today, I felt like the subs from Arteta, yeah, were wrong in my opinion. Half time, I was thinking, bring on ESR, bring on Tomiyasu, bring on Martinelli, lock down that left side and allow ESR to just bomb up because you know Tomiyasu can hold his own against Bailey 1-on-1. I just feel like the changes were all wrong, man. Like today, I don't know where to apportion blame, man. Like I'll probably say 30% to Arteta, 70 to the players for not killing the game when we needed to, because it's a running, man. We cannot be wasting these chances, especially against Villa, a team who have the quality to punish you in transition. All season I've been saying, yeah, most teams don't know how to keep the ball in this league. But today, Villa kept the ball really well. And not
Yeah,
only
they
that,
did.
they maintained a threat going the opposite direction as well. So there were always a threat going in behind. And the pressure has told, man, that, as I said, I don't know when these players are going to arrive because every year it seems to be something. And I remember last year, you came on and I said, Zinchenko and Jesus cannot be starting crucial games and running ever again. And lo and behold, both of them start today. They were shocking. Jesus, Zinchenko was worse, by the way, and we're left wanting. So again, why did that change up a bit in formula, fam? Like for the past 10 weeks, we've been smashing teams, doing well,
You want to kill your left foot.
or even Tomiyasu, because Tomiyasu's back from injury. Like give Tomiyasu 60 minutes today to just look down to the defense, win the game, get 2-goal lead. They can bring on Zinchenko for control, and there's no pressure for him to he can do his stupid holding on the ball too long because you're tuning up in it. So it is what it is. So you can just hold the ball and dead the game. But not when you're trying to win the game or chase the game. And yeah, today the subs, in my opinion, were poor, man. I think the subs here confirmed that, yeah, it's done because are people saying, oh, we should rotate more. But then again, even the rotation players, they're not fucking good enough because Partey, even since coming from injury, I've not been impressed with Partey's cameos, let's be real. For the
Yeah,
level that
he's not been great.
Like you as an outsider, have you been impressed with Partey's cameos since he's coming from
No,
injury?
he looks like someone that is probably on his last legs, and that you'll probably have to start looking to move on in the summer.
100%. And people are saying, oh, maybe Declan Rice shouldn't start today. And I'm thinking, the reason why Declan Rice having to start extra games is because Partey, one, has been injured all season. He's been crap since coming back. So you're thinking, so what? Start Juninho by himself on an island when if you're trying to rest Declan Rice. So Arsenal fans need to be guided. The rotation options have come back here, but because the intensity is so high, they haven't been able to build any sort of momentum or
Yeah.
any minutes into their legs because the games are high paced and they have a lot of jeopardy. So coming back from a long term injury in this running year is a big issue. Like same thing for Liverpool today. Trent Alisson coming back into the squad, but the games are so high intensity here, they cannot stamp their foot onto the game because they're in cold. So man, it's a tight spot for Arteta in that regard. One thing I will say for Arteta is that his rotation options have not been reliable enough at all. They've not done enough of the minutes that they've got to convince him, okay, you can have 60 minutes in a game like Villa today to do your thing. So us fans need to tread carefully, man, because then again, most weeks, as I said, we've been watching teams by the 60th minute and he's been making changes. Rice has been regularly coming off in the 60th minute. Saka has been regularly coming off 60th minute. So really, can we blame fatigue today? Or the players' arse just fell out today? So right now, man, just end the season with some dignity, man. Arsenal just needs to end the season with dignity. One thing that will piss me off the most here is what if they do what they did last season after the City game, when we could have still gotten 90 points and they went to lose back to back to Forest and Brighton. If they do that, then I have to wash my hands with this team because back to back seasons here, whereby you could have taken to the final day despite slipping up and you decide to throw in the towel. I can't have that. I can't have
You
that.
know, I'm not personally, I don't I'm not of the belief that the issue, because you were speaking earlier about like where do you apportion blame. From my rudimentary tactical analysis, I don't think that there was anything necessarily tactically flawed about the way Arteta set up. For me, the fundamental issue was just as the game wore on and as Arsenal failed to make Aston Villa pay, the nerves started to kick in and there was a lack of leadership fundamentally to ensure that the players continued to play their game and didn't panic. And that for ultimately it comes down to like a squad profile issue in my opinion. And hopefully for Arsenal's sake, they are able to fight back, because this will be the third year in a row whereby there's been some sort of implosion. Like there was an implosion for the fourth spot in 2022. There was an implosion for the first for the Premier League title last year. And you don't want this to turn into another implosion. But to me, that would point to it would I wouldn't be pointing a finger at Arteta. I'll be pointing a finger at Arsenal's recruitment department, identifying characters in the squad who can help those players get over the line in the final stages of a season. And I still think that that's a fundamental flaw, because historically, you look over the spread of Premier League teams who've won, and they've got those big characters who've been there and done that before. So, what you're saying about like not wanting, you know, there to be back-to-back losses like has happened in the previous two seasons. Yeah,
Especially
not
this
just last
time,
season.
yeah, especially this period of the season.
A lot of it will hinge on what happens in the Bayern game, I think. If you lot go there and beat Bayern, I think that will be a really big re-energizer. Like that game is so important to the direction of travel that you guys have over the rest of the season, that I think it will completely dictate the mental and emotional temperature of the dressing room and how that translates onto the pitch. If you go there, you beat Bayern, you're going to be revved up, and you might, you know, take it to the last day of the season again. If you go and lose to Bayern, you could end up going and losing at Wolves or drawing at Wolves, getting a bad result against Chelsea, getting a bad result against Spurs. Like it could very quickly unfold.
No, but the thing is, with
We'll
Champions
see.
League, you can play well and still get knocked out. So how would they respond if they've played well here, but Bayern have used their game breakers and the experience here to nick the tie? Like that's no excuse to implode after that. You just
It's
have to
not an
fight.
excuse. It's not an excuse. I don't think it's an excuse, but I think it's you know, the nature of sports psychology. Like at that elite level, particularly when you're surrounded by a lot of people who haven't been in that environment before and don't know how to kind of work and navigate the ecosystem of the final stretch, the last dance. It can be. Do you know, Rio Ferdinand was talking about it on Vibe with Five. He was saying how like he's been in dressing rooms and been in and around players whereby like their chest is puffed out for the whole season. For the whole season, though, their a player's picking up the ball off the back four or asking for the ball in tight spaces. And then when it's crunch time, suddenly that loud voice becomes very, very quiet. And there's certain characters that just don't rise to the occasion, innit? And so I think, there's the potential for that happening with Arsenal. I'm not gonna lie. If the game on, was it Wednesday night
Yeah,
against
Wednesday
Brighton,
night. Yeah.
doesn't go according to plan for you guys, but we'll see. It's definitely an opinion. I still think that ultimately there are still three teams left in the Premier League title race. It's only 2 points separating Man City from yourselves and Liverpool. Anything can happen. Man City could very easily go to Brighton,
Wait,
drop points.
anything can happen here, but I'm worried about these group of players here throwing in the towel again as they did last season. And if they're to do that again, honestly, I'd wash my hands with them because you cannot be doing that 2 years in a row whereby you had even had the opportunity to finish with dignity and show that, yeah, it was a point or two. And we can point to, certain parts of the season whereby we may have lost the title. But if they, honestly, man, they cannot allow
But do
themselves.
you, but do you, why, I guess what I'm getting at is, why do you view it as throwing in the towel?
Because it's right now, I think we're only 2 points behind City or something like that. If now win every game, yeah, and City go and win every game and they win the league by 2 points, fair enough. We can now say first 19 games we dropped too many points, therefore we couldn't afford to have a slip up in the final 10 games, which is fine. You can point to the first half of the season, but if they now go and drop 5, 6, 7 points here and finish well below 90 points, or let's say right now our max is 89, and we go and end up finishing with less points than we did last season, then it's like, come on, what are we doing here, guys? So telling me any slight hiccup in the running here, you're gonna just throw in the towel and not even keep your heads up for the final day. And out of respect for the fans that have believed in you for the whole season, to now throw in the towel and not even put up a fight for the final weeks.
But momentum matters, man. Like, I guess what I was saying before when I was like talking about sports psychology, it's like psychological momentum matters. Like, when you're winning and everything's going well, you're confident and you want to receive the ball in tight spaces and you want to receive the ball anywhere on the pitch. And you're like, and then when things take a turn for the worse, suddenly you're not as confident and you don't believe in yourself as much. And that pass that you might make in any of at any other stage in the season is you're now a little bit more wary of it or a little bit more cautious of giving the ball away. Like, and if you're in a squad, I'll keep saying it, if you're in a squad whereby there's nobody saying, boys, I've been here before, we're good, like there's no standard setter and no like experienced leadership of somebody who just you walk out with every single Saturday and you say, do you know what, I'm gonna be all right today because he's here. And he's here and he's here. When you don't have that, I don't see that as like throwing in the towel. I just see it as just lacking the experience. You know what I mean? Like it's just getting the heebie-jeebies.
But then again, yeah, the lack of experience, but Odegaard has seems to have learned from last season and he's been on it.
But he's
Like,
got a lot of quality and he's played. I mean, this boy's played at the Bernabeu, man. Do you know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
but
Like he's.
you don't play that half a season for Madrid, if we're going to be honest. Like, half a season out being part of the
Yeah,
team
of course, but
is ridiculous.
he's puffy. He's incredibly talented for one, and he is somebody that has come from an environment as high stakes as Real Madrid. I know it was only half a season, but he's been in and around like that sort of level. Who's to say whether he'll continue at playing at this level for the rest of the season? We don't know. Like
Yeah,
he could very
there's six games
easily
left
be.
now, though.
Yeah, there's 6 games left, so we'll see. But regardless, there's still fundamentally like that lack of. Like, there isn't anybody in that squad, in my opinion, who people can look to and start to glean confidence from. And that to me is a problem. I don't see any like significant tactical flaws. I know you're talking about this in-game management and the subs and stuff, and I think that can go either way, to be honest. Sometimes I look at it's hard because when we don't have the information as fans to understand why certain subs are being made, but for me, it was something that I'm not surprised has happened. We get to April, which is crunch time, 6 games left. The pressure's on because City have won, and actually in the same day, Liverpool have lost. And it's funny because on Sky before the game, they asked Paul Merson, like, take yourself back into that same scenario, how are you feeling as an Arsenal player headed into the game? And he was like, it can go either way. You get players that are like, oh snap, Palace have shown that they can be a title contender. like we can be beaten as a title contender, or you get people that are like, yo, let's go and take advantage of this. And depending on the profile of the squad will invariably dictate the direction of travel moving forward. And I'm just not convinced that Arsenal have the squad profile of players who are like, we not only deserve to be here, but we know how to work this environment now that we're here. So I don't see it as like throwing in the towel. I just think they just don't have the know-how. But anything can happen. Who knows?
Yeah,
Like there's six
but I
games
talk
to
about everything
play.
can happen. Yeah, but that's the issue. Everything can happen. Yeah, but would they put themselves in a position to take advantage if something happens? And that remains a question moving forward. But yeah, man. Earlier today, Liverpool also had a shock result at home to Palace. I watched that game. To be fair, I could see that result from a mile away from Liverpool, man, because they've gone down. They're going to go down 21 times this season,
Yeah.
and as we said earlier, having to go from come up from behind and win games continuously, it takes its toll on you. Happened with Arsenal last season, and it's happening with Liverpool this season.
Yeah.
And finally, their legs were gone. People are saying, oh, Alisson and Trent are coming back, they'll get over the line. But as I said earlier, players coming from injury in a high stakes environment, especially when games are more intense and have lots of jeopardy, is going to be very hard to feel their way back into form. And today, sadly for Liverpool, they lost. And then again, Palace were a good value for their win today. Not gonna lie, Palace played really, really well. If we want to watch off based on the stats, a draw would have been fair based on the chances that Liverpool missed. But
Yeah.
overall, I have to say Palace were good value for their win. They played some lovely football in the first half.
Yeah, they did.
Eze, Adam Wharton, I'm like that kid, absolute baller. The balls was playing in behind, one touch passing. Great, great, great player, man. Great player. And if Palace had a better forward, they could have scored three or four in the first half. So yeah, man. Yeah, Liverpool. Me personally, I think that Liverpool are out of the title race, honestly, because they have three away games in a row coming up.
I don't think they are out of it. Because again, I think that the profile of the squad they've got guys that have been here before and winners.
Yeah, Van
And
Dijk,
maybe like
Trent.
maybe they needed that big Premier League wake up call to shake themselves up again. I don't know. It's very difficult for me to predict Liverpool because they are. It's almost like their chickens have come home to roost because they haven't had control over the course of the season. Like Arsenal and City have tactically suffocated teams and have had so much technical control over, a 90-minute game so frequently that you can kind of reliably predict like how a game will go for those two. Whereas Liverpool, they love a basketball match, but they've got ruthless finishers. Today, I just look at it and think both teams missed a lot of chances and Crystal Palace took one of their chances in a way that Liverpool didn't. Like I was watching that game thing. I think I said into one of the group chats I was in, I can't remember the last time I watched a game and said, I can't believe he's not scored that so frequently.
Yeah.
Like Jota, Salah,
Jones.
Jones, my lord. Even Mateta, like when he went through and on goal, lobbed Alisson and then Robertson clawed it back off the line. There were so many chances that were like, I cannot believe that's not ended up in the back of the net. And a lot of gilt-edged chances that, in an era from yesteryear under Mane, Firmino and Salah, I don't think the result ends with a Liverpool defeat because those guys are a lot more clinical and a lot more composed in the final third. Like
Yeah, 100%. They're
Liverpool
just
have
killers.
probably they have too many of the same profile of like kind of fast physical kind of gung-ho forwards when it's Nunez, Diaz and Salah. They don't really complement each other. Like you had a look like Firmino had that element of like pauser, I guess, where he could slow things down, assess things, play little cute passes. There was a bit of nuance to his game in a way that Liverpool are a little bit too rushed now. And I think that contributed, like it contributes to making their games like a basketball match, innit? So yeah, but they will be gutted. For me, it comes down to how, again, the team mentally responds, because they seem dejected at the final whistle. Like, I was looking at their leaders, like Robertson, Van Dijk, and I was like, damn, you guys look like you feel like you're out of the title race.
Like they feel
Not a good
exhausted.
look.
I also feel like, as I said earlier, clean sheets are currency in the running, man. Like it's high currency, man. Because if you're getting clean sheets, you're winning. You're happy because like your back door's closed. You're putting away teams, and more than likely, if you're conceding the running, yeah, you're either going at 1-0 down or you're getting pegged back. Obviously, if you're conceding consolation goals, you can be like, okay, next time let's just keep it tight. Let's just focus more. But if you're regularly being pegged back or going 1-0 down, it takes its toll on you. And I think the reason why Liverpool players were just looked exhausted, in my opinion, man. Because all
Yeah, they
season,
did. They did. They did. They looked tired.
all season they've been doing this comeback from behind, high emotion, highly charged adrenaline. That's why I feel like they could be out of it. But if they got knocked out on Thursday to Atalanta, and they're thinking, okay, 5 weeks left, let's just go gun home, man. Fuck it. Let's just do what we
I
can.
think I'm not ruling them out. Like, I don't believe that. I believe, and I've said it from the beginning, I think Man City will win the league again. I think they're gonna four-peat. But I'm not drawing any decisive conclusions about who's in the title race and out of the title race based on today's results. I'm just sticking with my prediction at the beginning of the season. But I'm not gonna be like, oh, that means Liverpool out of it or Arsenal out of it. They're both on the same points. They've both got tough fixtures. Like, for me, Liverpool mentally have more in their locker. They've got more resolve and more to rely on to recover than Arsenal do. But we'll see. Like,
Yeah, and
but I agree with you. I think the reason they're tired is because they play basketball games every single week. They don't control games. Like, everything is too high energy, too high octane, too like end to end. And usually they can kill teams off like that. But like, when you don't kill teams off, then it starts to become really draining, both physically and mentally. And yeah, they're gonna have to regroup and decide what Liverpool that they is gonna show up for the next six games. But they've got a lot of their big players back though. They've got like John's back, Trent's back, Alisson's back. That should really, those are the guys that should be standing up in the dressing room and saying, boys, like, we need to pattern up for the last few weeks, boy.
But to be fair, banner from Liverpool, Salah's been out of form the last couple of weeks,
Yeah.
and back on the way they approach games and the game states, there's a reason why Pep has dominated this league for so long, because everything's all about control, suffocating teams, making games boring. And it's no wonder Liverpool's only title came was when they won it by Christmas.
Yeah, there you go. They didn't have to
Like,
deal with that, the nerves of a run in.
yeah, so if in your head you're clear, you've won the title, games don't even have to be the games by nature will not be high octane anymore because you're
Yeah.
relaxed. You're thinking, yeah, we'll pick them off. And yeah, man, for Liverpool going forward, I don't know. As you said, next week is very crucial in terms of the title race, and
Yeah.
how Liverpool and Arsenal respond will be a massive, massive bearing on the final 5 weeks.
What do you think? What do you think, though?
Now,
Like, do you
me personally, I don't see Man City dropping points, and even if they do, I don't trust my team, Arsenal, to stay professional or even stay mentally locked
think?
in to take advantage. I have a feeling, we'll probably drop one or two more points. Not one or two more points, but we'll drop points in probably one or two more games minimum. And even if Man City drop points, it wouldn't mean anything anyway because there'll be not much games left to even claw back the gap. For me, it's from a place of I don't trust this team to stay in it mentally, to stay mentally locked in and be like, okay, there's only 2 points. Let's just get back on the horse, win every game, and see what happens. I don't trust this team to do that. Liverpool, on the other hand, they have the leaders in the team to, get back on it and go on a run. But for them, it's about mental fatigue, physical
Yeah.
fatigue. How can they manage that? So for me, everything points to City going 4 in a row. And It's not looking good, bruv, for Arsenal, in my opinion.
Mm.
But on the flip side, on top four race today, Aston Villa, in my opinion, practically secured fourth place. Great performance from Aston Villa. Weathered the storm in the first half, second half, made some tactical tweaks, and they used the drop in intensity and the nervousness from the Arsenal crowd and the team to advantage and got 3 points. But considering a Man United dropped points yesterday and Spurs got back yesterday, great weekend for Aston Villa, man. And with the
Yeah.
uncertainty of fifth place getting the Champions League, they've done themselves a good solid to,
Yeah.
in control in the coming weeks. Because I think the one today, and I think the only top 16 they have to face is Liverpool. And that's the second to last game of the season, which might not even mean anything with the games that Spurs have coming up. So yeah, man, Aston Villa have secured top four in my opinion. What do you think about that assessment?
They've got Brighton as well. They've got Chelsea as well. Palace away on the last day. I don't know. I don't. The thing is, it because Tottenham's games are so hard on paper, it would make you think that Villa have a little bit more of a clear run. But I still think it's going to be janky for both teams. I think Villa like as composed as Villa were in the second half. They grew into it because Arsenal allowed them to grow into it by Arsenal's nerves starting to. Arsenal started to play the occasion. And I think Villa took advantage of that. But I don't think that it necessarily sets them up to like go and have like a really glossy end of season. I can still see them like just playing the occasion themselves because
Yeah, but
Champions League on the.
mention the teams that outside of Liverpool, what other teams do they have?
I think they've got Bournemouth. So yeah, I'm looking at it now. So they've got Bournemouth, then Chelsea at home. So Bournemouth and Chelsea at home, Brighton away, Liverpool at home, and then Palace away on the last day of the season.
Outside of Palace, yeah, those other games, those teams can suit Villa in terms of a stylistic matchup. You know about Brighton, they leave so much space in behind. Villa have the players to exploit them. Bournemouth will come at Villa. Who else is in there? Liverpool will come at Villa. I think the team there, yeah, that is a stylistic nightmare for Villa is Crystal Palace on the final day. Someone who's going to sit back and force Villa to break them down.
Yeah.
Those other games, the matchups suit Villa much more, in my opinion.
No, I'll tend to agree with that, to be honest. But I think my thing is, I'm not like at this stage in the season, I place slightly less emphasis on like the tactical matchups and just slightly more on like what have you got up here? Because it does come down to do you have the balls to go and actually like to get it over the line. The thing that I think plays to their advantage is that Unai Emery is a man who has played in the Champions League before, and has taken a lot of teams of a similar and clubs of a similar size to European glory. So I think that plays to their advantage, but I still think Tottenham just have more recent experience of getting over the line in the last, 5 to 6 games of a season when it comes to securing a Champions League spot. So I really, I don't know. I just don't. I think this last 6 weeks is going to be so unpredictable. Like there's going to be results that you're going to be like, I can't believe. That like if Tottenham go and beat Arsenal now on the 22nd of April or 28th of April, suddenly everybody's going to be like Tottenham are going to get a Champions League spot now because they're going to be so energized by a result against their nearest and dearest rivals. They're going to be in a position where they've derailed their Premier League title hopes. And you would expect that, okay, got here on in, like they have the ability to go and kind of like, be a Chelsea or what have you. And they might have a couple slip ups against your Liverpools and Cities, but then why shouldn't Aston Villa have some slip ups as well? So I think I just can't call it. I'm not so convinced by Aston Villa yet. I still think that Tottenham have, yeah, how. It depends on the Tottenham that show up over the last few weeks. Like, it really depends on the Tottenham that show up. And I'm not convinced, utterly convinced by Aston Villa. I'm not so convinced that their performance today was showcased to me how they're going to show up over the next 6 weeks either. I think it a lot of it is.
Yeah, but I think for Villa, the thing that could hold him back is Emery. If he decides to tinker with his team when he shouldn't have, when he shouldn't. For example, when he faced against when he came against Spurs at home, went for a more defensive shape instead of going at Spurs and ended up getting battered. I think for Emery, the issue is if Villa gets to the semi-final of the Conference League, is he gonna start second guessing himself?
Yeah, it's a really good, that's a really good point.
Yeah,
Like,
so for me, for Villa, it's not so much the players. How they're meant to react is more Emery. How will he meant to react? Because he's been here before with Arsenal, whereby we had the European final, and he decided to essentially throw the final few games you're banking
yeah,
on
banking
European
on
final.
that.
But in this case, Conference League doesn't get you Champions League, so
Yeah.
he might have to.
But if you're Villa and you've not won a trophy in 30 odd years or whatever it is, and you're a Villa fan, you know what do you want? A Champions League spot that you undeniably you're not going to win next year, or do you want a trophy in the bag?
Me personally, I think if Emery does things correctly, they can have both, man. Because let's be real, Conference League, the level of teams left, Villa have the superior budget, superior players. They probably have the best coach in the competition. Let's be honest.
Yeah, they do.
It's all up to Emery to balance things properly, man. For me personally, if I was a Villa fan, there's no excuse for him to mess up top four in hopes of winning Conference League or throw in Conference League in hopes of getting top four. They should be able to have both. They can have both, in my opinion. And in the conversation of Champions League, yeah, Madrid and City are tied at 3-3. Arsenal and Bayern Munich tied at 2-2. PSG 3-2 behind Barcelona. And Atleti taking a slender lead to Signal Iduna Park. What are your predictions for who are you seeing in the semi-final, in your opinion?
I really couldn't tell you, you know. But I think you've convinced me that Aston Villa will like they're the favorite. They should be the favorites in terms of like the experience of Emery in these circumstances should carry them. It should. It really should.
It
Like there's
should.
no one on paper that they should be a scared like could be scared of. They've got their aggregate lead over Lille that they're carrying into the away fixture. I guess like you could have a really tricky tie against like Fenerbahce because they're Turkish. Going to Turkey is always a really intimidating kind of environment to be in. If they, I don't know if that's if they're on that side of the draw though.
Now, personally, I've not been following the Conference League, how the tournament tree is working, but
Yeah.
Villa are the favourites.
Yeah.
And for the Champions League, me personally, my favourites to go through are right now. As I said, I don't have to call it, but I think Atleti do enough to get to the semi-final.
Yeah, Atletico will beat Dortmund, I think.
And PSG Barcelona could go either way. It depends on what PSG turn up and how well Barcelona can defend. City or Madrid.
I think City will get over the line.
Yeah, that game, yeah, because winning the winning Champions League is so hard. It's so hard.
What do you think about the fact that they've taken away away goals?
It
Do you
means
think
that
that's been good? Because
it's been good, yeah, because teams are now going for it now. You have
going
to
for it.
outscore your position or you have to win at your position's ground. Just playing for a draw and hoping that you go for an away goals is not the option anymore. You have to go and win. And that's what I like about it. Essentially,
Yeah.
whoever has the most balls to take the game to a position, you can be rewarded and you're not penalized for going for the tie, which has been good in my opinion.
I
So now
wonder if the
the second
data
leg's here.
shows that though. Does the data, like the historic data of Champions League knockouts, does it showcase that it's low scoring?
Because
Like,
a lot of teams should. So it's back in the day, if let's say you won 2-0 away to your opposition, you're basically guaranteed to go through because now you can play a Turkish draw. And you're through. Now, win 2-1 or 2-0 away to your opposition's ground, it's still 0-0 going into that second leg, and your opposition has a chance to beat you at your ground to go through. So it's increased the jeopardy, in my opinion. And now teams aren't rewarded for being ultra defensive. You only earn the right to be, you only now you only earn the right to be defensive is if you win your first the first tie. Then you earn the right to be defensive in the second leg.
But like, look at those some of those historic games, like Barca beating Liverpool 3-0 in 2020 in 2019 at the Nou Camp, and then Liverpool overturning it 4-0 at Anfield in the return in the return fixture, like with the jeopardy of away goals. I just think that for me it just brought extra magic to the competition, but I guess it's an ongoing
Yeah,
debate.
because you put that, and Barca are losing 4-0 and they get a last minute goal, and they just have to lose 4-1 and they go through one of the away goals after
And
seven.
that's how Tottenham got Tottenham got to the Champions League final on away goals when Lucas Moura scored in the last minute against Ajax, because it was 3-3 because Ajax won 1-0 at White Hart Lane. Or Wembley, or wherever it was at the time,
They just
White
left
Hart
White
Lane,
Lane.
or the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and then Spurs won 3-2 after being 2-0 down. And I think, like, I don't know, those moments for me, like, yeah, that's what make I think away goals was cold still, but
Yeah,
regardless,
both rules have their pros and cons, but I
it
like this
does,
one whereby you don't get rewarded for playing a boring draw. You have to go and beat your opposition at least once. So I like it that way. But yeah, man, as you said, it's hard to call the quarterfinals apart from Atletico's tie, because Barcelona can see a lot of goals, but you can get another game whereby PSG don't turn up again. So on the balance of what we saw in the first leg and what we've seen from these teams in history, I think Real Madrid might nick it. They'll take
Really?
the Copa City, because right now I think that they have the physicality to get at City on like last season. And for Arsenal's tie, I think it will be a glorious defeat for Arsenal, in my opinion. Bayern edged that 2-1, in my opinion.
Bayern have to win. I mean, after today, like, if Bayern are motivated by the Champions League after watching Leverkusen lift the league today, then I don't know for them.
I think it will be glorious for us, in my opinion. It will be a 2-1 win, whereby moment it will be 1-1 going into the final 10 minutes. Moment of brilliance from either Kane or Sané, or one of their game breakers.
You're predicting your demise. You're a joker,
I know my team, man. I know my team, man. Like, based on what we've seen from Arsenal in knockouts, look how nervous our centre backs have been in the home tie, let alone going to somewhere like the Allianz. Come on, man. I'm basing off what I've seen from my team and the track record of this team. So I don't think we'll have the know-how to win at the Allianz, in my opinion. And as for the Barcelona tie, I think Barcelona might edge it, you know. I think Barcelona might edge it. Unless Mbappe decides to take the tie by the scruff of his neck.
That's what he has to do. He's got to
Yeah.
step up. Like, he's good enough. He's good enough, but that's what Mbappe has to do, man. He really should be thinking about before cutting, taking PSG to a Champions League final and doing whatever the hell he can to actually get them over the line. But yeah, I don't know. Do you know what I'm looking? I'm thinking, man, I think personally Man City could do a treble again.
And we're like, if they do the back-to-back treble, yeah, I'm done with football, because that'll be what, 10 league titles for them, two Champions Leagues, and essentially three league titles behind Arsenal for them. It's not looking good, bruv. It's not looking good. Look, this ain't Chelsea, whereby they won two Champions Leagues here, but they're seven league titles behind and they're so far away. This is Man City, three titles behind, bro, and two Champions Leagues. They can talk their shit.
Yeah, they can.
That it's scary out here.
Let's see what the charges are saying, though.
But they're doing shit, man. I'm hear it here first. If they get charged, the maximum they'll get is transfer ban for 2 windows, a massive fine, and maybe a points deduction if they wanna make it look like they're punishing them. But I don't see anything extreme, man.
Yeah,
Like
neither do I, to be honest with
people expecting a 30-point deduction or 20-point deduction or automatic relegation. We're not seeing that, bro. Like, this isn't Serie A. Serie A weren't scared to relegate Juve. The Premier League, yeah, relies on the brand, and they're not gonna.
Yeah, relies on their big clubs.
and they're not gonna relegate their best side,
they're not.
the best product. So
Yeah.
at best, 5-point deduction, transfer ban for 2 windows and a hefty fine, or maybe block them from qualifying for a season or two. I don't know, man. But people are expecting a massive points deduction and City getting sent to the doldrums of step five. Forget about it, bro. Like they ain't doing that. That City, I can't feel, man. City, I can't feel. City, I can't feel. But yeah, man, for my sake, yeah, I need Roman just to do their thing for him. I don't care who wins it, just don't allow City to go back to back. Otherwise, we're fucked, man. We are fucked. Now, like do you how annoying United fans are now? Now imagine these young bucks, man, growing up and all they've seen is Pep, 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 this bold sociopath absolutely run trend in his league. We are so finished, bro. We are so finished. So yeah, man, I need Real Madrid. I beg. Vinicius, Rodrigo, Bellingham, rise it, fam. Counter attack special, fam. Give me the dirtiest of 2-0 wins, bruv. Or win on penalties, fam. Because if City go through, yeah, the matchups, they are wiping that other side of the tournament tree.
They should do. They should do.
Now, let's
They
be
should
honest,
do.
they're wiping that side of the tournament tree. Atletico, they ain't got the firepower to bother City on the counter. Defensively, they're solid, but counter attack, not offering much. PSG, literally Mbappe and Inshallah. Barcelona, oh my gosh, they are getting sodomized, son. Like that side of the draw is so weak in comparison to this side. The winner of this Champions League is coming from the side of the draw, man. Honestly, like
Yeah, I'd
honestly,
have to agree. I have to agree still.
yeah, like yeah, man. This side of the draw is gonna absolutely win the Champions League. But in terms of talking about trophy winners and that, Xabi Alonso, first full season in management, wins the Bundesliga at a canter. 16 points clear at the moment.
See that guy?
What can I say? Nah, he's done the damn thing. Took Granit Xhaka off Arsenal. To be fair, Xhaka wanted a new challenge. He was tired of Arsenal fans scapegoating for everything. But it's exclusive, isn't it? Xhaka didn't leave because of his wife. He left it because he had it with Arsenal fans, bro. He was tired. Like Arsenal fans think this guy forgot about them wishing cancer on his daughter, wishing
Heard it.
death on his wife. He never forgot that, bro. He never forgot that. Him being the first person to be scapegoated when things gone wrong. Xhaka is not no it's not no, no is no dickhead for him. He never forgot that. He never forgot the shit he got from Arsenal fans. So him leaving the summer, it wasn't about oh, he wants a new challenge or his wife wants to leave. He just had it. He couldn't take it no more. He had it with Arsenal fans. And he's now gonna win a league title and potentially a treble for him. Because Liverpool are 1 foot out of the Europa League. They're gonna beat Kaiserslautern in the DFB Pokal. Amazing season for Alonso, man. Amazing season. And even better that he decided to stay at Leverkusen instead of taking the cheap route to Bayern. Because now Bundesliga will be better for it, especially the rumors that Nagelsmann might be brought back.
I'm really interested to understand a little bit more about how Xabi Alonso is as a man manager, because what he appears to be is like a really highly intelligent, learned tactician, that he swallowed up everything that he's learned under Benitez, under Mourinho,
Mourinho,
under
Ancelotti.
Ancelotti, under Guardiola, and has become. He was managed by Guardiola, right? At
Yeah,
Bayern, right?
3 years. His all 3 years at Bayern, he was managed by Guardiola.
He's been coached by four of the goats of. Well, sorry, three of the GOATs of the last 20 years, and one incredibly gifted tactician as well in Rafa Benitez. And he's played in England, so he understands playing in that style. He's played in Germany, playing in that style. He's played in Spain. And like he is like a perfect concoction of all of these ideas playing out now. But he doesn't strike me as like particularly charismatic. He seems like a quiet guy that kind of goes about his business. Seems probably more of like an Ancelotti, like the guys kind of get on with him behind the scenes, but isn't like, you know,
Exuberant, like
isn't like an exuberant,
basically he's not
eccentric character like a Mourinho, or
basically he's not Hollywood, and I think
he's not Hollywood at all.
he lets his resume speak for him as a player. I've got deep it. Leverkusen have never won a league title, so he's going into that club here as Don Dada fam. They are looking at him in awe. This guy's a two-time Champions League winner, or did he win it only once with two times Liverpool and Real
Two
Madrid.
times in Liverpool,
I think he's a one-time La Liga winner. I think that's the, and he's won the league title with Bayern 3 or 4 times.
Right.
So they're, he's come in there and he's changed their life from Leverkusen to potential treble.
Yeah.
That, don't get twisted, people understand that Leverkusen team in the early 2000s was stacked. Emerson,
Yeah.
Berbatov, Ballack,
Yeah.
Lucio, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Well, they got to the final in the Champions League final in 2002, didn't they? Where it
Yeah,
was that's
but
famous.
is the Zidane.
Famous goal, the left footed volley.
Yeah, so this is arguably the best Leverkusen side they've seen since
Yeah.
that
Yeah.
side.
In 20 plus years.
And finally, they've managed to get over the line after multiple heartbreaks, losing 3 trophies in the space of a week to now potentially winning 3 in the space of 5 weeks. That's a massive turnaround. And I think for Alonso, yeah, his experiences at these clubs and him being part of winning teams has helps Leverkusen get over the line. Obviously, their squad, if I look at their squad, none of their players are trophy winners. So
Yeah, man.
all of it is all his experiences being on teams
That's
that have
it.
won, and he's transmitted it to his team.
And not to keep bringing it back to Arsenal, but that's a problem that Arsenal faces, that like when you don't have that experience on the pitch or in the player squad, you need it in the dugout. Okay, fair enough. Arteta's been there at Man City whilst they've won things,
Yeah,
but
but
he's not
it's
the
not the same
one
as
leading
being the
them.
main coach or winning
Yeah,
it yourself in your
exactly.
playing days. I'm sorry, man.
So that's the issue, like, and that's the issue that Leverkusen have, like, a hurdle that they're able to jump over, because they've got it in the dugout. They've got somebody who's like, boys, I've actually done this thing myself. Like, you don't need to worry.
And he was one of the leaders in those teams. Let's not get
Yeah, he
twisted.
was.
He was one of the
That's
main
like
guys
proper main guy, like.
that Madrid was sweating when he was suspended for that 2014 final. They were sweating. They didn't know that, because that was a game that saved Casemiro's career at Real Madrid.
That's a very good shout. A very good shout. So yeah, man, I think Alonso has got all the ingredients to go on and have a glittering career. Like, I'm just interested to see where things actually go with him, man. The sky seems to be the limit. Do you know what I'm saying, for him? But yeah, he seems to be the leader of the new generation of like really interesting new coaches coming through.
Yeah.
I don't know who else is emerging that is kind of like being like spoken about in the ranks, but I remember a few years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, Mourinho was talking about Xabi Alonso being someone to watch out for because of the fact that he'd been coached by all of these different managers, all of
Yeah,
these different
different
tacticians,
philosophies, different changing
philosophies,
rooms.
ideas. Yeah, exactly. I remember also similarly, Arteta was the name on everybody's lips in coaching circles, and like Pochettino was probably the most vocal voice talking about like because Pochettino wanted Arteta to be his assistant at.
Yeah, but Arteta foresaw that if he wants to get his hands on an Arsenal job, he has to reject Spurs and go to someone where there's no rivalry.
100%. So, I'm really interested to know who's the name on everybody's lips in coaching circles now, who is gonna be like a potential adversary to a Xabi Alonso. And obviously at this moment in time, you've got your Artetas, he's
Nagelsmann.
also like top tier. You've got your De Zerbis, who's probably a level below. You've got your Nagelsmanns, who's probably in a similar sort of category to probably, maybe even because of what he's won, maybe even a little bit above Arteta. But I mean,
Yeah, Nagelsmann's above Arteta because,
just because of what he's won,
he's won a title, man. He went to Bayern, one of the most demanding clubs, and won a league title. And he was unjustly sacked last season anyway. And Bayern are talking about bringing him back, because they've recognized that what
yeah,
he
they've
brings to the
recognized
team.
them as the error of their ways, man. But yeah,
And
I'm interested to know who's if Alonso is going to be slugging it out with people in the next over the next 5 to 10 years, who's going to be up there with him? I'm really interested.
be fair, the next 18 months are big for people like Arteta, because he has to get a big trophy on his CV. Otherwise, we'll start falling into that Poch tier of coach, right? But can't get over the line. He has to be really, really careful, man. It would be a shame if he suffers the same fate as Pochettino, but football is unforgiving.
Arsenal will be my favourites for the league. Like, if Arsenal don't win the league this season, they will be my favourites for the league next season. if they address the experience issue.
But the issue is now, yeah, football is in transition at the top level. On the market right now, Gundogan was the person, was the player, man. Right now on the market, there's no top level player who's about to leave a high performing environment here that Arsenal can get, in my opinion.
Oh,
Unless
Joshua Kimmich.
that other man Kimmich as number eight, but as you know, snobby Arsenal fans talking about, oh, he can't play midfield for us, rare tear tear. Arsenal fans don't know what they want, but I wouldn't mind Kimmich. But let's
Trust
see. Let's
that's
see.
a 29-year-old veteran right there, man.
Now let's see, man, because going forward here, Nagelsmann has a league title to his name. I think he won a DFB Pokal with Leipzig as well, if I remember correctly. So he has two trophies. So
I think he did.
in comparison, Arteta has an FA Cup, but he needs that big one, a
Yeah.
Champions League or Premier League.
Yeah.
Alonso has the Bundesliga on his CV right now, and he's about to get two more trophies, Europa League and domestic cup. So
Does.
Arteta needs to
Well,
get
actually,
them.
Nagelsmann was a runner-up in the Pokal,
Oh,
but
he didn't win it.
I didn't win it.
Okay, but
But he
he's
won. But with Bayern Munich, he won the Bundesliga and the Super Cup in both years, 2021, 2022.
he has on his CV, he has experience of winning a trophy like that big. So Arteta, like, to round up the conversation on coaches here, based on the young new generation, I think Arteta's the only one who's been at a big club who hasn't won a major trophy yet. So the next 18 months are crucial for his reputation, in my honest opinion. Now,
It
I
is.
can't, I don't doubt his ability, but because the Premier League is so competitive, he has to be at he has to operate at a high level than what
Yeah.
Alonso will have to operate in the Bundesliga. So
He also has to regroup himself and ask himself if he can go again with Arsenal, because that will be very mentally depleting to get to the end of this season. It depends how they finish the season. Like you said, if they finish the season
with
2 points
dignity.
off or a point off, it's like, you know what? We go again. But if things capitulate a little bit and there's a bit of an implosion, he's gonna have to really regroup and figure out, like, because he'll be nervous getting into April again next year. Do you know what I mean? He'll
Now,
be
to be fair,
thinking.
this running is much calmer on the touchline. He's not as animated. He's letting the players solve problems for themselves
Yeah,
more.
because Gary Neville's been on him saying that he needs to that Arsenal have been too emotional. I think he's been listening.
And even in press conferences, he's been calm, saying one game at a time. It's a marathon, you know. No need to put pressure on ourselves. But this week, that fucking idiot Zinchenko came out and said every game is a final. And lo and behold, today, shit went left. As soon as he opened his mouth talking about every game is a final, he's a fucking virus, man. But hey, Arteta, next 18 months are crucial for his reputation, man.
Yeah,
If
and a
you
lot
do
of these young coaches in general.
now. To fair, in terms of young coaches, yeah, the only three are Nagelsmann.
Like De Zerbi, I think, whatever move he makes.
Yeah, but Deserve's been on the block for at least 10 years now. He was at Sassuolo for a long time.
Yeah, no, he but how old is he though?
I think he's in mid-40s.
Yeah, you're right, 44. And Arteta's what, 40?
42. So I took a slightly later than him.
Okay, so there's only a couple of years. So they're still in a similar category and vein of young coaches trying to make a name for
Now, for
themselves.
me, I
He
feel if
just got a
Arteta,
bigger break, innit? Arteta got a bigger break. He got a bigger club,
yeah,
better
but for me, yeah,
resources, bigger
the
everything.
reason why I fear for Arteta is it because Arsenal fans don't know a good thing when they have it. Arsenal fans are talking about, let's go get Amorim, let's go get, we need someone to get us over the line. Arsenal fans don't know how good they have it, fam.
Oh, that's crazy.
Like, look at how United are scrambling to find quality in the market, in the coaching market. Look how Chelsea are scrambling, and Arsenal fans are prepared to fuck Arteta off here in the pursuit of a big trophy. So that's why I feel Arteta will be a success. He'll win big trophies, but whether it's at Arsenal or not, I don't know. Because one, Arsenal fans like to throw their toys out the pram. And two, what's to say he gets fed up and says, you know what, let me go somewhere it's easy, fam. Let me go snap a few trophies at Barcelona when Barcelona had to fix up their finances, or go
That's where he
PSG.
started as well. He started at Barca, so he could.
Not even PSG, remember, he's a PSG former player. He might go PSG on unlimited budget and just absolutely take that league for a piss run. So yeah, man, next 18 months are very, very crucial in this coaching landscape, because a lot of his peers have now secured big trophies.
Yeah.
He has the FA Cup, but he's lacking one of the major ones, Champions League or the Premier League. Well, otherwise, he's very close to getting his name tarnished there by Arsenal fans, because it won't be opposition fans who will tarnish his name. It will be Arsenal fans who will give the opposition fans the ammo to tarnish his name. Because, like, for you as a United fan, you'd be happy with Arteta at your club right now. Like, it was
I
Arteta's
guess it would
universe.
be good for any for I think any like Chelsea, any of the clubs that look that are sort of there are question marks over their incumbent would take Arteta in a heartbeat. Even like Liverpool with Klopp departing, I look at I scan the market and I think if Arteta were available, I'd get him there. But I do think I don't know if this is a relevant point on this, but I think that we've been talking a lot about profiles of like squads being important. I think profiles of managers marrying up with a club is also just as important.
And
Like,
for Arteta, his matches are either Barcelona or PSG.
yeah.
Those are his matches in the market.
Well, do you know, I don't, do you see PSG? I don't know. They're not run, they're not run. I feel like Arteta is like, he strikes me as project, you know, at a romantic club.
Yeah, but remember, PSG post Mbappe is looking spooky, so it would be a perfect storm.
I feel like PSG, yeah, maybe, yeah, you're right. Maybe he'll need to rebuild whatever's going on there. But I don't feel like he's like infinite resources coach. Like he wants to work with young players. He
Yeah, but
wants to
look at the
like
PSG Academy.
install a philosophy over them.
Well, look at the PSG Academy and the talent that they've produced in the last 10 years. Magnon. Who's there? Who's part of the PSG youth team that they've produced? Your Magnons, your Nkunku's at the height of his career.
Yeah, of course.
They've
But
produced
they didn't
quality.
retain them.
Yeah, because there's no pathway to the first team. And if they decide to say, you know what? See, let's do more. Let's increase the connection between Paris and the club by utilizing our academy more and minimize the big money signings. Because let's be real, that league does not need big money signings to win. They need a good
Yeah.
core.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah. So yeah, man. Next 18 months are very, very crazy, are very crucial for Arteta, man. Like, hopefully for his sake, I hope he wins something big. Either Arsenal or somewhere else, man. End of the day, because I'll
That's
be
your
ready.
boy. You rate him, man. That's your boy.
Now, look back at my tweets on Arteta. Yeah, when he first joined the Arsenal, he was so raw. I hope people get this. He had a lot of potential, but he was really, really raw. If people go and watch our games back from 2020 to about end of the 21-22 season, he made a lot of tactical mistakes. Like this season, yeah, he's been coaching out of his skin. Look at the names that have been missing most of the season. Partey, Timber does the ACL first game of the season. He was bought to carry out a specific tactical function. Tomiyasu out for most of the season.
Yeah.
He's been coaching out of his skin. It's just that like the fine margins is where he's falling short, or where Arsenal are falling short. So, as you said, can they end the season with dignity, so use it as a platform to do better next season?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I feel
If
like
they
he.
do, then I think no, I think you'd get recruitment right in the summer and you get crucially for me the experience. I think Arsenal will be my favorites.
Yeah, but let's see, man. Let's see, man. The next 5 weeks
Like a
are very,
Joshua
very crucial.
Kimmich, or even like, you know, there must be some City players that are fed up of being at City, some old heads at City
I'm
that
done with the City signing some because
they.
I thought Zinedine and Jesus here were one of the more
Yeah,
important
but
ones.
you need their leaders. You don't need their water boys. These are
Yeah, but
the
their
boys that
leaders
were
are
the
basically
house
gone.
boys at City. They were fetching yam and
Yeah,
water.
but look at this way here. The leaders now are KDB and Rodri. Everyone else here,
No, Kyle Walker's still there.
he's finished, bro. He's turning 34. Bernardo wants to go to
He
Barcelona.
ain't finished, bro. Kyle Walker ain't slowing down, bruv. He's probably as fast as he was when he was at
Yeah, but he's turning 34. And according to City fans, he's not having a good season. Bernardo wants to leave the country because he's tired of the weather.
Fergie.
So, hey, it's
Yeah,
peak,
but
man.
they're creating. They're a machine. They constantly create new leaders and new people go into that leadership structure. Do you know what I mean? And I think
Yeah, but right
it'll be
now,
hard to take from them, of course. I get what you're saying, but you lot need to just even looking at some of the Liverpool guys, man, like
yeah. If Trent decides to ask for a new challenge, he's welcome. He's welcome to the Emirates. But again, man, as I said, I think it might have to be a buying thing or look at Real Madrid and see who might make way
Yeah,
at the top.
just doesn't need. I don't. I'm not. When people laugh at me when I say it, I'm not saying that they should go and just sign anybody for the sake of it. It's like, it's it, it. it just changed. Footballers talk about it all of the time. It changes the dynamic of a dressing room. It
Well,
changes the dynamic of a dressing room, man.
yeah, but hey, we'll know more in the next 5 weeks, man. No more
Yeah,
about
we'll
this
know
team
more for
because,
sure. 100%.
yeah, because this is the first big slip up since the
Yeah,
tournament.
there's still more football to
Yeah,
play.
there's 5 weeks of the season,
Too
so
many
hey,
conclusions.
that's not a week for the pod. And nice having you this week, man. Safe.